You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As always, we kick off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It's certainly been an interesting day of movements with China coming back from that golden week of holiday that they had. I'm joined on the line by Chantal Marks, Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, to take a look at these and other movements. Good evening, Chantal. Lovely to speak to you as always. Let's start with Asian markets. Let's start with the Chinese story. Chinese markets coming back to the party. Hong Kong not having a good day?
No, not at all. It seems as if investors in the region were not happy with very few details that got on proposed fiscal stimulus measures in that country. So last week we had the Chinese authorities saying that they're going to do quite a lot to boost economic growth in China, starting with policy, so that is whatever the central bank can do, but then also saying that they're going to introduce a wide range of fiscal measures, so state funding, in order to boost economic growth. And it does seem as if the latest kind of utterances from authorities in China has been high confidence that they'll be able to do enough.
Sorry about that, Chantal. We seem to have a very bad line to you. I'm going to send you back to Cal, our producer. We're going to see if we can get you back on a better line. In the meantime, the gold price isn't doing much. I'll give you an update on that. It briefly came all the way down to $2,605 an ounce. I bring that up because it is the lowest we've seen it. It's lost about 1% today. It hasn't been at these levels in quite some time. In fact, the last time we were probably around this level, I will see, pull up one of my charts. The last time we were on this level was probably around September, and it seems we've got Chantal back, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but let's finish with the China story. Chantal, are you back with us?
Yes, I am back with you.
Ooh, I'm much better.
I'm not sure how much you heard from what I said earlier, but basically the point is that that investors were underwhelmed by what authorities have been saying in terms of fiscal spending, so state support for the economy. They've said that they're going to do a whole lot on the monetary policy side, so from the central bank side, and that seems to be coming through. But in terms of state intervention and state-funded growth or state-funded growth push from their side, it does seem as if it's not enough to convince investors that it will result in sustainable growth in the Chinese economy. So we saw stock prices move back quite heavily on the Chinese mainland and in Hong Kong, really, today. And that filtered through to the JSE as well, with, I see, Naspers and Prosus being sold off heavily and commodity stocks coming under a lot of pressure because, of course, our commodity prices are very dependent on Chinese economic growth.
Chantal, when we look at our own picture, as you said, commodities and resource counters coming off, but it wasn't much better from industrials. I think financials were the only real sector that, and finishing flat is not really much of an achievement, but it is compared to how negative the others are. Is the sentiment going around? Because I'm looking at European markets as well. They didn't fare much better. The only markets that seem to be in the green are US markets.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that this sentiment is filtering through. I think that there's also not a lot of data at the moment that's really giving investors clarity in terms of a way forward. It's been quiet so far on the data front. We do see that picking up tomorrow and going into Thursday with some US data releases coming through. And I think that there's a lot of risk out there. Investors are nervous about the Chinese situation. When Chinese investors panic and when there's panic around Chinese stocks right now, it's difficult to see where that kind of optimism is going to come from, where the economic growth for the next year is going to come from. And it makes investors nervous. And that coupled with a major unrest in the Middle East and political risk in the US, it's freaking investors out. I guess on the US front, things looked a little bit different because there was a reasonable bid in the Magnificent Seven. So after those stocks were sold off quite heavily over the last few weeks, we have seen some interest return again because these stocks are now priced a little bit more fairly, and that really pushing up the market over there.
Chantal, let's have a quick look at gold. The gold price, again, with the risk sentiment seemingly going against risk at the moment, you'd think the gold price would be doing well, but it's down. It's to levels we haven't seen since sort of mid-September earlier this year.
Yes, so I think that there are a couple of things that are having an impact on gold at the moment. So you would think that it would be at sustained higher levels because of the geopolitical issues that we're facing globally at the moment. And over a 1 month period, it is still up around about 6%, and over 3 months, around about 12%. But we have seen some weakness lately, and I think today in particular was quite weak. And that could be a combination of a stronger US dollar. A weaker US dollar tends to be quite positive for gold, and of course the inverse is true as well. And then one must remember that gold is a safe haven asset, but it's also there's an important component of demand coming through from jewelry. And China is one of the biggest jewelry markets in the world, and when there's negativity around that market, it could filter through into the expectations for gold demand over the next year or so.
Chantal, I saw something interesting that suggests that US dollar reserves are the lowest they've been in quite some time, and that China has increased its buy up of gold, buying up some 225 tons or so in the last little while. Is this a clearer shift around some underlying things that could potentially play themselves out into the markets in years to come in a very different form? Or is this just markets potentially repositioning ahead of a US election?
Yeah, so I mean, this is something that we've been seeing over the last 2.5 years or so, at least since Russia invaded Ukraine and Russian sanctions were imposed. The Russians really struggled because they had a lot of US dollar reserves that they could do absolutely nothing with. And I think other central banks were cautious because of that. So we have seen central bank buying generally pick up quite a bit, Chinese central bank buying in particular over the last 2.5 years. And it's been one of the reasons why we've liked gold as an asset class. Remember, the situation or the relationship between China and the U.S. isn't necessarily a friendly one. And from a reserves perspective, I would think that they would feel more comfortable holding a lot more gold and a lot less U.S. dollars.
That certainly makes a lot of sense. Sticking with the U.S. picture for a second, you mentioned a little earlier that we've got some data points coming out of the U.S. I know U.S. inflation is set to come out, I think it's tomorrow, Thursday. Are we expecting that that will have a material impact on the market? I mean, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, has already made it very clear that the Fed will not be bullied into rate cuts and they'll make rate cuts decisions on their own. Do we expect tomorrow's inflation print to have a real bearing on how the Fed sees the rate cutting cycle?
So I guess it depends on how far away it is from what is expected currently. So currently the expectation is for headline inflation to slow from 2.5% year on year to 2.3% year on year. If there is a big undershoot, it could open the door for the Fed to cut rates or to cut rates by more than expected. At this point in time, it's 25 basis points in November and 25 basis points in December. So if it's lower than expected, it does give them room to do that. If it's higher than expected, then I don't think we'll see another 50 basis point cut. I think that the expectation will then be for kind of a smoother 25 basis point rate cut in November, December, and then going into the next few meetings in 2025.
Chantal, what are you looking forward to in 2025? I mean, obviously the US elections are less than a month away. That's got sentiment moving around like crazy. When the dust settles, regardless of what the outcome is, and perhaps the outcome is important to 2025, what do we look at towards the end of the year or going into next year? What are some of the areas that seem to make sense?
So I think going into 2025, we certainly will have a very important election year behind us. So not only in the US, not only in South Africa, but half of the world's population, more than half of the world's population were at the polls this 2024, or would have been in 2024. So there was a lot of political risk in this specific year. Then going into 2025, it'll probably be less so. And hopefully we can benefit from some of the cyclical tailwinds that we are already seeing coming through now in the fourth quarter. lower interest rates, lower inflation, higher consumer confidence, higher consumer disposable income. In the South African context, hopefully a continuation of structural reform, hopefully an improvement on the logistics side, and long may load shedding stay away. So I think it could be a really good year from an asset price perspective, and I think it could be a particularly good year for South African asset prices.
What about international prices? What about the Asian markets and European markets? I mean, clearly we're seeing that this could be the start of a lot more turmoil to come between those relationships, but we also don't know when the Middle East tensions are going to de-escalate.
So, I mean, those macroeconomic tailwinds that I'm speaking about will be quite prevalent, not only in South Africa, but in the US and Europe as well. I think from a US perspective, the only issue is that asset prices are quite high, so the market is quite expensive. So that might limit the kind of returns that you get from US assets. That said, I mean, we have seen this kind of rally that has been coming through in US stocks over the last few years being fueled by very few stocks. So perhaps a broader stock market recovery, maybe the small and mid-cap space faring a little bit better. In Europe, I think that there are a lot of quality assets that aren't too expensive at the moment, but we are a little bit concerned that European growth might be more structurally constrained, so issues in that economy resulting in lower growth. But still, I think that there are a lot of opportunities there. And in China, I think it depends on whether or not the stimulus measures that they put in place is enough to meaningfully lift economic growth projections from below 4% to at least 5%. The stock market there isn't expensive, even though we've seen a big rally in those stocks over the last week or so, with the exception of today, of course. But those stocks are not expensive, and I think that they could get a really good bid and do quite well for investors. But I think that most of my excitement at the moment actually lies domestically.
It's all green for the domestic market. Hopefully that does continue. Hopefully we do recover from some of these retracements and we continue with the bullish momentum we started to see. Thank you so much, Chantal. We'll leave it at that. Thanks as always for the time and for the insights. Chantal Marks, Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, on what's been moving the markets and what could potentially move them going forward.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.